God bless you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. And I've been meaning to get onto this for about 2 weeks now. And somehow or another, the Lord hasn't let me do that, but I'm going to do my best here tonight. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. Everybody said in order. Let all things be done in decency or decently and in order. I want to talk about God is a God of order. God is a God of order. Father, I thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you for the order that it brings into our lives. We lean on you. We put our trust and our confidence in your word tonight, and we ask you to anoint it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated tonight. God bless you. This word order here in 1 Corinthians 14 is a Greek word that means regular arrangement. In time, it is a fixed succession or rank or character. It is official dignity or order. And so when the apostle wrote to the Corinthian church that was actually out of order in many ways, he told them, he said, let all things be done in decency or decently and in order. There has to be a regular arrangement within the work of God. There has to be an order that God, or an order that we line up to in our life so that things will go very well. Disorder, I looked that up. Webster says disorder means to break order, to derange, to disturb any regular disposition or arrangement of things, to put out of method, to throw into confusion or to confuse. And so that kind of gives us a good idea of the two opposites there, order and disorder. And to give you a little example, I thought about this, and how many of y'all like to play Scrabble? Does anybody play Scrabble? I enjoy playing Scrabble, and it's just a lot of fun putting words together in order. That's what it is. It's a game of order. And so take two or three games of Scrabble, put all of the letters out there, and write a sentence with all of your Scrabble pieces, a sentence that means something, a sentence that is grammatically or correct and all of that. Then get rid of all the other pieces, and then you can read that sentence, you can meditate on it. Maybe it would be a parable, or maybe it would be a proverb from the book of Proverbs, and it would have great meaning. It would have deep meaning. Maybe it would even have prophetic meaning to it, just one sentence. And then when you're finished with that and you want to go to disorder, then what you need to do is mix them all up. Just mix up all of the letters and then blindfold yourself and take letters and put them side by side until you have another string of letters. I will guarantee you that you'll find that the elements of a clear and concise message have now become unreadable, and there is no message, no message whatsoever. And you can do it over and over. You can try to put the pieces together blindly, but when it's come and gone, it's going to be out of order. Amen. We've got to have an order that comes from God, because God is the only wise one. He is the only one that is completely sufficient. Amen. And when we look at it here, the Bible says that when God created everything, he looked at it and God said it was good. Everybody said good. Good. All right. If you're going to get into the Word of God, you've got to look up these words and find out what they mean, because it goes deeper than just the surface reading of the Word of God. The word good here means complete or sufficiently perfect in its kind, having the physical qualities best adapted to its design and use, opposed to bad, imperfect, corrupted, or impaired. We say good timber, good cloth, good soil, a good color. Amen. Because it is in order, because there is something about it, it was made sufficiently perfect and has the physical qualities best adapted to its design and use. Some of you tonight work in the aircraft. Some of you work in other areas where things are put together and where they are made. You may run a machine that makes parts, but when it's all said and done, there has to be an order to the way that you do it, or when it's all said and done, it won't work right. Amen. It just won't work right. You can try it 1,000 times and do it the same way, but you'll still get the same results. And when God said it was good, it was good. Praise God. The universe is still doing the will of God, and it's not out of order, and there's not chaos. Amen. But there is an expressed order in the physical world, and there is a order in the spiritual world as well. And I want to talk about a few things here tonight. I want to look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you'll turn with me tonight. Deuteronomy 28. And I'm going to start with verse 1. Brother Reed, are you there tonight? I need you to help me a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. Well, praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? In other words, what we're seeing here is that God is saying that when things are in the proper order in the spiritual sense, they become proper and in order in the physical sense. Well, praise God. We understand that this is true and that it is right. David said in Psalm 119, keep your place there in Deuteronomy. We're going to go back to that. Psalm chapter 119 and verse 127 and 128. Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Amen. What David was literally saying here is that I love it when things are in order. And who better to say this than David, who ran a lot of his life away from those who would try to kill him and had lots of troubles and problems and situations that rose up in his life. And David looked around him, and there was a lot of disorder in his world. His own son even rose up against him and was going to try to kill him. And he got to a place where, probably in his heart of hearts, he said, I long for some order. Amen. Amen. I long for the time when things get straightened out and they're in the order that God has for them. Amen. It means to be straight or even. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And that means to be straight or even. It's not crooked. It's not uneven. But it is straight, and it is level, and it is even. Praise God. I really don't like potholes. I don't like them because they're out of order. Anybody like potholes? Is anybody here tonight? Somebody make me feel like I'm here. All right, praise God. In Boston, they had lots of potholes, and there was a contest by a local radio station for someone to find the mother of all potholes. Amen. And there was one that was large enough. My pastor's son was going down one of the streets, and he hit this pothole, and it literally tore the wheel off of his car. That's how big the pothole was. Amen. Now, that's a pothole. To me, that's the mother of all potholes. Praise God. And nobody likes that. Why? Because it's out of order. Nobody says, "Oh, I'd like to run into a few potholes now and then to get my life exciting." No, we don't do that. We say, we call up the city and say, "You need to come and fill this pothole." Amen. And it's out of order. When we go to pick Annette up, there's a street that we go to her house, and for several years they had dug across the street and then they filled it in, and you know, it went like this. And so every time you go down the street, it's like this. And then a little bit further down the road, it's the same thing. There's three of them on that street. And after a while, it gets a little aggravating. Amen. When I first moved to Augusta, I thought, "Oh, this is cool. Brick streets. That is really nice. I really like this." But, you know, it didn't take me very long until I thought, "I'm going another route so I don't have to drive on those bricks." Because they're not level and even. They're crooked and they're not straight and level. They're out of order. Amen. They're out of order in a very real sense of the word. And so when we look at order tonight, we can't look to the things of this world. David didn't look at the things of this world, but he lifted up his eyes to a spiritual plane. And he said, "If I'm going to have any kind of order in my life down here, I've got to establish a spiritual relationship with God and get things in order with God. And when things get in order with God, everything else is going to smooth out." Did you know there's 1,000 years of peace that's coming upon the earth? Scripture talks about it. "And the lion will dwell with the lamb, and a child shall die being 100 years old. And a little child will be able to play with a snake, a very poisonous snake, and nothing will hurt, and there will be peace on the earth." And the reason is because Jesus Christ will be the ruler of this world, and he will come and put everything in order. Amen. And so when everything comes into order, even the animals, the physical world, when the Word of God rules our hearts and our minds, there are many, many things that are taken care of in the physical world. For example, we could say, stress. We could talk about stress here tonight. And some of you look like you might be stressed out from the day. But stress is something that we have to deal with in our lives. How do we get rid of stress? We've got to find a place of peace with God. And when we find peace with God, it helps us in our physical body. Amen. It helps us with the levels of stress. It doesn't mean that they're going to go away, because the Apostle Paul said, "I live with distresses." Amen. There are many things that I have to fight. Many things that I have to deal with, the churches and all of the things that are going on, people that are rising up against me. Don't tell me he was so spiritual that those things didn't bother him. They bothered him, and he wrote it down. But he was used of God because he found himself, and we talked about this in Bible study last night, that he found himself caught up into the third heaven. Amen. Wherever that is. I heard a preacher once, or heard of a preacher that was teaching at a youth camp, and he said that the third heaven was Saturn. Amen. I don't know about that. Because he said, "I was caught up into heaven." I think maybe because that's the third planet away from us or something. And got caught up into paradise. I don't think Saturn would be considered paradise. But he was caught up in the spirit to a higher place. And so therefore, when his physical world was out of order and he had an infirmity of the flesh, which was actually a messenger of Satan that was sent by God to buffet him, he came to a place of peace in his heart. He actually came to a place of joy in his heart, where he said, "I am thankful for my infirmities, because I could glory in my wisdom, I could glory in my revelations, But because of this physical infirmity, the only thing I can glory in is the grace of God. The only thing I can glory in is my relationship with Jesus Christ. What a mature Christian he was. And what a high place, a high watermark. Maybe I shouldn't say that. A high mark for us to reach to. Praise God. And hopefully we can establish something similar in our own walk with God. Everybody here tonight has dealt with stress. And this week you've dealt with stress. You've dealt with a world that's out of order. Amen. I've talked to some that work at the plants. And one of them, I think it was Brother Troy, texted me back, and he said one day a few weeks ago, he said there was a big fight that broke out. I said, a big fight? Who was fired? He said, nobody was fired. It happens all the time. And I thought, dear Lord, I don't want to work at a place like that. I wouldn't want to work there. But you've got to have a job, and it pays really good. There are some of you that are involved with other people, managing other people, and it brings a lot of stress and a lot of could be anger and resentment, and all kinds of things can come into your heart by a world that is out of order. What we're trying to do is help the world to come into order, but they've been out of order so long that disorder to them is order. Amen. And so we wrestle with spirits and we wrestle with things. But God is a God of order. No matter how crazy things get in the physical world, and in fact, the physical world is going to get pretty radical. The Bible says that the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. It will be tipped off of its axis and it will rotate and wobble. And there will be mighty earthquakes. There will be all kinds of troubles and problems. And it says, because the iniquity is heavy upon the earth. People don't realize it's not just a natural phenomenon, but when the spiritual world is out of order, it affects the physical world. Did I say that right? When the spiritual world is out of order, the physical world cannot be in order. And I want to look at a few things here tonight because it plays through. Now, Brother Reed, you read for us tonight Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And he said, if you will do the commandments of God, hearken to the voice of the Lord will set you on high. Go ahead and start in verse 3. I'll let you read down so we can get a little gist of this, and then I'll stop you before we get to the next part, which is verse 15. I'm going to stop you at verse 4 or 5 somewhere. Go ahead and read for us.
Blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Lord shall cause thine enemy that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
All right.
Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouse and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Amen. Isn't that awesome? That's really awesome, because when the spiritual world is in order, then God moves in our physical world. Amen. And there's something exciting about that. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7. Keep your finger there in Deuteronomy 28. Psalm 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so the law of the Lord is perfect, and it means without blemish, complete, full, perfect, sound. Everybody said sound. That means solid. This is sound. You can make a boat anchor out of that. Amen. It's sound. It's hard. It's solid. because everything was put together in order. Amen. And when it's put in order, then it becomes perfect or complete or full. The Bible talks about us becoming complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. And what it literally means is that as we walk with God and as we learn more about living for God, it puts another piece of our life into the proper order. It takes that letter of the Scrabble game and brings it over and sets it where it's supposed to be. And then another little aspect, another, until it is a complete sentence or a perfect sentence. Amen. Not perfect in the sense that we never do anything wrong, but perfect in the sense that it is in the right order. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Amen. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 28 and 15, because I want to show you the other side of the picture here tonight. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 15. Amen. Read down a few more verses.
Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out.
All right. We can just stop right there. There's a whole list all the way down through verse 44. Of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And it's really interesting. We can see this in our physical world today. We can look at the country of Venezuela. If you don't know what's going on there, you can Google that out and look at it. Venezuela was one of the most prosperous countries in the world at one point in time. And today there are people there that are literally starving to death. And inflation is so high, they said that it has reached a point of 1,000,000%. Now, that means if a loaf of bread costs a penny, by the end of the year, it will cost you 15 million pennies. And there's no food to eat and all of that. The very reason is because the city, if you please, or the government of that country is out of order. Amen. Go down to the border. Well, I'm not really that interested in going there. But if you go down to the border, north of the border, there is prosperity. There are green fields. There are cattle. There are many, many things. But you go south of that border, and it is barren, and people are trying to get over that border. They're trying to cross over that fence to get to a better place. And the reason that it's not the fence, it's not some magical thing that makes those two areas different. One is in order and the other is out of order. Well, praise God. So I want to talk about just a few things here tonight, and hopefully it'll help somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Actually, I want to go down, and I don't have the verse here. Someone may be able to tell me the verse. Well, let's just start with verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. And so there is an order here. And if I had the chalkboard, I would just show it to you. There is God, who is eternal. There is His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. There is the man, the husband, and then there is the wife, and then there is the children. And that is the order that God placed in this world, in the family order. I'm not giving you anything new here tonight, but maybe I'm giving someone tonight some new material to look at, some new word to get into your heart. But it talks about praying here. And so if we don't have things in order in our physical world, then things are going to be out of order in the spiritual world. And if a woman is rebellious to her husband, God won't hear her prayers. If a man is rebellious against his wife, God will not hear his prayers, because it affects the spiritual. A child that is out of order, that is rebellious against their parent, God will not hear their prayers. Their way will not be good. And the Lord said to honor your mother and father. Somebody said amen. It doesn't mean that honor them if they're perfect. It just simply means honor them. And it will be well with you. And so he says, what you've got to have here in this order that God placed for us, there is a distinction, if you please. There is a distinction. There's a distinction between God and us. God is a spirit. We are flesh. We are physical. God is spiritual. And then when we talk about order here tonight, he talks about praying. Praying or prophesying. There is a rule, if you please, or maybe I should just say an order to spiritual involvement, prophecy, and anything else in the gifts of the Spirit that you want to talk about. There is the idea sometimes, and I've talked to some of you about this, not as a personal rebuke, I didn't mean it that way, but we've discussed the issue that spirituality does not trump order. Amen. Spiritual order will be the priority, or rather physical order will be the priority if we're going to have spiritual things in their proper place. And so he said it is right for a man to cover his head. Uncover his head. Uncover his head. Somebody said uncover. Help me tonight. Amen. If a man prays with his head covered, he dishonors his head. Who is his head? His head is Christ. Praise the Lord. And so he dishonors Christ. What does it mean there? Does that mean you say, well, Pastor, I don't wear my cowboy hat while I'm praying? No, that's not what it's talking about. Well, I put my baseball cap aside. No, that's not what it's talking about. Amen. What it's talking about is the order, the physical order. And it means having short hair. Let's look at it. Let's read on down just a little bit. Every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn, and that word means cut. But if it be a shame for a woman to be cut or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of God and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And so now the physical world, when we get things in order, in God's order, I'm telling you, things are going to begin to happen that are very powerful. Amen. Ladies, you have the opportunity to have power in your life. Amen. Praise God. Power on her head. Because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the man is of the woman, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Now look at this. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely or is it proper? Is it in order that a woman pray to God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And some of you that have lost a lot of it, you could shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. I'm going to get finished here in just a minute. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Her hair is her covering. So if a woman prays with cut hair, she dishonors her head, which is her husband, and is out of order. Spirituality, it doesn't matter how long you pray. There's some things that if they're not in order, it's not going to work. We can prophesy, we can talk in tongues, we can give our body to be burned, we can do great and mighty works, but if we're not in order, it doesn't mean anything. Praise God. There is an order that God gives us in the Word of God. You don't hear this preached, but what it is in the denominational world, but it tells us here that if a man prays with his head covered. In other words, if a man comes in with long hair and he prophesies or prays, I want you to know he's dishonoring Jesus Christ. And we're at the place where some Christian singers have longer hair than the women have. And they're lauded and they're praised and all of that. But I'm telling you tonight, there is an order. Now, why would God say it's proper for a man to have short hair and it is proper for a woman to have long uncut hair? And there are several reasons, but one of them is so that there others that are in the relationship, the little ones that look up, they can grow up with a sense of order in their lives. Praise the Lord. If daddy is and mama is, it gives a wrong sense of order in the family. Praise God. What we need, and I'm so very thankful for our church. I really am. I'll tell you what, we've got some men that know how to pray in our church. And when it comes time for prayer, the men are the ones at the altar leading it. And that's not a put down to the ladies, but they tell me that lots of churches, it's the women that are praying. It's the women that are worshiping. But I'm thankful tonight that we've got some men that will stand up and lead. Amen. Amen. It's important that we be leaders. That's what God gave us. He gave us authority. He gave us leadership. Amen. And he gave the woman power on her head. And there is a tremendous power in submission. It's tremendous power when the husband submits to Christ and he treats his wife right, amen, and he does the right thing. And there is tremendous power on the woman when she is in submission unto the order that God has for her. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I just wanted to throw that out there. I just have been feeling that for a couple weeks now. There is an order to this. And then it says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And some have said, well, that means then that if we don't, it's just a custom and it's not a set thing in its order. But what we don't have a custom of is being contentious. What we don't have is a custom of being contentious against the Word of God. He didn't go through that whole chapter right there and bring out all of these important things and then say, well, if somebody doesn't feel like it, it doesn't matter. Amen. That's not what that's saying at all. Well, somebody said, praise God. Praise God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Get it for me, Brother Reed. And let's look at how the spiritual world affects the physical world. Malachi chapter 3.
Will a man rob God? Can he have robbed me? But you say, where is shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts.
Amen. And all nations shall call you blessed. And on and on and on. When we have things right, when we have things in order in the physical world, in our financial world, when things are in order, amen. One of the best things that Wall Street could do is pay their tithes.
Amen.
Don't expect it to happen. Amen. And that order that they think they have goes into disorder quite regularly. Amen. And so what the principle here is that God has given us everything that we have. And for us to give back to God is right. Amen. For us to give back to God for the work of the ministry is right. Amen. And hopefully the ministry is feeding the flock, and the ministry is doing what they're supposed to do. Amen. That's a blessing right there. And so he says, if you get your finances in order in tithes and offerings, he said, I will not destroy the fruits of your ground. If you go back to the book before Malachi, which is the book of Haggai, and you don't have to turn there tonight, he said, you look for much, and lo, it came back little. And he said, you earn wages, and you put it into a bag with holes in it. And he said, why? Because my house is lying waste, and you run to your sealed houses and do your own thing. And so he says, I called for a drought. A drought. God said, don't rain on them anymore. And so the physical world was affected by the spiritual world. Praise God. But when we give to God and we are faithful in our giving, you know, I found it to be a joy. There have been a time or two that I thought, boy, I could sure use that money. But you know what? I thought, you know what? I sure need to use the money I got left over better than I have been.
Amen.
Well, praise God. Praise God. We set aside money for retirement. Amen. Maybe we ought to set aside some money for our eternal retirement, laying up treasures in heaven. And so what we do with the least, the tenth is the least. Tithe means the tenth. And what we do with the least is an example of what we're going to do with the most. What we do in little things is going to be what we do in big things. And so in one place, the Lord spoke to the man and he said, you know, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Praise God. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You don't usually get applications for CEO. Amen. Fill out this application, send it in. We're trying to find a CEO. You know, everybody would be signing up for that one. Praise God. Hey, it's all right, folks. It stopped raining. It's going to be all right. We're going to make it home. Praise God. We're going to make it home. They don't have an application for CEO. I worked with a man in Boston. I've told this story a number of times. But I worked with a man, and his uncle was very rich. He lived right there on the Charles River in a nice condo, very expensive. And he was the vice president of Prudential Insurance Company. And he started out, he didn't get the application for vice president. He started out in the bottom of the skyscraper in the mail room. And when the mail came in, he put it in the right slot or delivered it or whatever it was that he did. And he began to work his way up until he was blessed. What he had to do was prove that he had order in his life. And when he had order in his life, then he could be elevated to a higher place. Praise God. Praise God. So we'll move on from that. I can see that went over like a lead balloon tonight. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. I'm sorry, verse 17. Just talking about order here tonight. I'm going to be finished here in just a few moments. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. There it is, that word submission again. We don't like that, do we? We don't like that. We don't like it when the pastor says you need to be in church. Amen. We don't like it when the pastor says it's time for prayer and fasting. Amen. Well, praise God. This old flesh rises up and says, well, I'm not really sure I have to do that. It'll be all right if I don't. But it says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so we must submit to spiritual leadership in our lives, but it goes even further than that. We must submit ourselves to physical rulership in our lives. When we get pulled over for speeding, we don't cuss out the police officer. We say, yes, sir. And we're respectful because he is ruling over us. Amen. We don't treat civil authorities despitefully. Amen. Because the Bible says there has to be an order to us. Amen. There are times when we disobey the law, because it conflicts with the law of God. Amen. We're not going to ever accept the law that says it's all right to have abortions. Amen. And unfortunately, the Kansas State Supreme Court ruled the most liberal abortion law or ruling in the entire country. That's right here in Kansas. Well, praise God. And the Bible says God sets up and God puts down. You say, well, God did that? No, I'm telling you what. The spiritual world is out of order in Kansas. The spiritual world is out of order in Washington, D.C. The spiritual world is out of order. And when it's out of order, God gives us the kind of leadership that we deserve. Well, praise the Lord. He gives us the leadership that we deserve. And it affects the physical world, the spiritual world does. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. All right, so we submit ourselves to one another. Everybody said to one another. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, that means you. That means you. All right, we're going to submit ourselves to one another. And we're not going to be in competition with one another. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. So the way we submit ourselves to one another is the same way that we submit ourselves to the Lord. And so he goes down another verse and he says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Praise God. So it's not all you're supposed to submit to me. No, there is an attitude of love. Love for God, love for one another. And when you love someone, you want to go out of your way to bless them, right? I don't have to have a law to say love your wife. Amen. It comes naturally. It's a part of who we are. Praise God. And so we don't have to have a law. And I know in the Old Testament, Brother Mason brought this out, in the Old Testament, the greatest commandment is love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Amen. And yet in the New Testament, he writes that law on the tables of our heart. Brother Reed, I don't need anybody to tell me you have to love God. You better love God or else. How do you do that? How can you do that? That's like telling a husband, you've got to love your wife no matter what, or you're going to be in big hot water. Amen. That's not love. Love has got to come from the heart. Amen. It has to come. And I've said this many times, the law of love is stricter than the written law. Praise God. Because it comes from the heart. And it comes up with colorful ways to show its love. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together. Everybody said together. Together. There's an order here to this. Together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. We've got to love. I shouldn't say it that way. We've got to. But when we love and we submit to one another, it affects the spiritual world. So if our prayers are hindered, we could look at it on the flip side of that. And if we do these things, our prayers will not be hindered. Amen. They will move forward. We will have answered prayers when we are in unity. Praise God. Proverbs 12 and verse 27. I want to read a couple more and then we're going to finish here tonight. Proverbs 12 and verse 27. Possessions. Everybody said possessions. Proverbs 12, 27. Read it for us tonight, Brother Reed, if you would. The substance of a diligent man is precious. Praise God. And that's probably a good pat on the back for everyone here tonight that's a pack rat. Amen. I'm going to keep everything I've ever had because you just never know if you're going to use it. Praise God. Well, there's a certain attitude there that what I have is precious to me. Amen. My car is precious in a sense of the word. My home is precious. I'm not going to let it fall down around on my ears. There's one out on the highway. Maybe I shouldn't make reference to it, but I've been watching it for years. It's needed a roof for years and years and years. And I drive by, and then one time I drove by, and I thought, how in the world does that thing ever keep any rain out? People are living in there. And one day I went by, and there was a gigantic blue tarp over the roof. I thought, well, that's their fix. They fixed it. But it was all dilapidated and everything. Just the other day, I drove by there, and half of the house had collapsed. Amen. It's gone. It's because somebody didn't look at it as being anything precious. Amen. Our possessions are given to us by God. We need to take care of them as much as we can. Well, I think I'm losing us all here tonight. But it's summed up in the parable of the talents. Each talent represents these areas of our possessions, spiritual and physical. Amen. We must protect our possessions. One of the greatest possessions, the greatest possession that we have tonight is right here, what we're considering. Praise God. Don't let your Bible collect dust at home. You know, I've taken on something in my office. I don't put anything on top of my Bible. And I know that's just symbolic. I don't think the Lord would be upset with me. But there's just something about it. I'm not going to lay a bill on top of my Bible and worry about my bill and not consider the Word of God. Amen. There's something there that's very, very precious. Each talent represents something, and some get little and some get more, and some get much. Amen. But we're all the same, and what we need to do is have the right attitude toward our possessions. I appreciate the church that we come to. Amen. It wasn't like this when we moved here. And the Lord knows we've worked hard and we've done as much as we can possibly do. And I can say that when I leave it, I'm going to leave it in better shape than what I found it. Praise God. I can at least say that. And it's blessed more than what it was when we came. Luke chapter 19 and verse 17. And he said unto them, well done, thou good and faithful, thou good servant. Another place is good and faithful servant. Because thou hast been faithful over a very little. Everybody said, very little.
Very little.
Very little. Amen. You know, and this may sound silly tonight, but if I'm walking down the street, Garrett, and I see a penny, I pick it up. It's probably not worth the effort, and it's not even worth a penny. Amen. But that's got value to it. And so I pick it up, and I give it to my wife. Praise the Lord. Because I don't want to carry change in my pocket. And we've got change at the house in a jar, and you know, we just keep putting it in there. And after a while, we go out to eat or whatever we want to do with little bitty things. Somebody said, well, you're doing really well. You get to go out to eat. Well, no, we just put our pennies in the jar for 6 months. Amen. And folks that are blessed are people that regard their possessions, and they are wise with their money. They are wise with the things that they have, and they have a certain respect for the things that they possess.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Young men on the front row, well, I keep peeling their hides every time they come to church. They seem to like it. At least here, anyway. You know what? Your room is your room that God gave you to sleep in should be something that's precious. Man, it's getting real quiet now. Praise God. Maybe I shouldn't even go there. But I've heard of people that did not regard their possessions, didn't care about what was going on, and when it was time to move to another place, they lifted the bed and there was an anthill underneath the bed. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord. I changed out some cabinets when we first moved here in El Dorado. Sister Little was a manager of a big apartment complex there. And there was a lot of people in there that didn't regard what they had as very high. Some of them had assistance and only had to pay $2 or $3 a month for their rent, and they were behind on their rent. And we needed to change out some kitchens, and so I ended up changing out 17 kitchens. I did tore out the old and put in new, and it helped us down the road, praise God. And I got to the place where I could do 3 kitchens in one day. But there were some of them I couldn't do that because, Brother Greg, I tore out some cabinets on the bottom. You know what I'm going to say probably. And there were dead cockroach bodies that high in the corner all filled up. Amen. Oh, yeah. Not a lot of fun. But they just didn't regard what they had. You know what? Live and let live. You know, they're around the picture frame. I walked into one of the houses, and around the picture frame, I saw little antennas. Oh, live and let live. Amen. No. Live and kill. Praise God. I'm living and I'm killing them. I'm getting rid of these bugs. Praise God. Some of you feel the same way. Amen. There's an order. Somebody said order. There's an order. Praise God. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you all so much for coming. I don't even think I need to say that because you're here because you want to be here. But consider what we've talked about here tonight. For some of you, this is not anything new. But, folks, we can't have revival without prayer. There's got to be a spiritual order to the church. We cannot have revival without unity. It is a spiritual order of the church. It's got to be there. Amen. We cannot have revival if we don't get the vacuum out and vacuum the carpet. You know why? Because if we don't care about that, we're not going to care about the others. We're not going to have revival if we let the grass get 2 feet high in our church. Thank the Lord it's not that way at the house. Praise God. Because mine was about 1.5 feet tall when Hunter came and mowed it down. We just couldn't get in there. It was just too wet, and it loves wet stuff. But we're not going to do that at the church. Amen. We want our church to look nice. Sister Glenda's redoing some of the curtains around the organ and the piano. And nobody told her to do that. She said, I just want it to look better. We want our church to look like it's in order. Amen. That's not going to save anybody, but it's going to change our attitude about what we have and about what we're trying to do here. Amen. Let's pray together right now.